Have international military forces been deployed there? Why? I don't know how long the instability in Iraq will last. Every station wants to have a correspondent there. Many of them have interests in Iraq. In fact, I believe there are many in Iraq who are actually benefiting from the instability. Portuguese journalists are very interested in going such places. Be it in the Middle East, Africa, or Europe. The Iraqis never accepted the presence of American forces there. In order for the lives of the Iraqis to return to a normal, all feuding sides must sit down and reach an agreement. Otherwise, it just won't happen. Hi, I'm Carlos Faleres, and I'm a journalist. For 15 years now, I've been a radio television producer, as well as a journalist. During this time, I've learned a lot in my work for Portuguese radio. Because of this experience, I decided to head to Iraq and cover the war. I first arrived there in March of 2003. The experience I've had in Iraq has been remarkable. It was a war that the entire world was paying attention to. News related to Iraq made headlines. That is why I decided to go there, to a country that had been totally destroyed by war. It was a very sad and disturbing situation. I can say that professionally, it was a unique opportunity and could easily be one of the most important jobs in my life.
A
When I was working in Iraq, I met a Portuguese citizen who had married an Iraqi. This part of my report was very important. When Portuguese listeners heard about this and learned that a fellow Portuguese was in Iraq while it was being bombed and she was telling her own stories, they couldn't help but be interested. She was a Portuguese who had gone to school in London, where she met an Iraqi Air Force pilot. They got married and decided to settle in Baghdad. They lived there for 20 years. This Portuguese woman told me that they did not want to leave Baghdad when the war started. They believed it was their home, and that was where they wanted to remain with their family. Despite their fear during the bombings and the complicated situation, they decided to stay in Iraq, and she was sure that this war would one day come to an end and they could once again resume living peacefully in that country. I clearly remember that the moment the U.S. officially announced the start of the war on Iraq, I left Lisbon for Iraq. When I reached Kuwait, American forces were being deployed in Iraq. Finally, after 1 week, I rented a car and eventually put the 700 kilometers between Kuwait and Baghdad behind me, passing through a series of checkpoints. Despite all the problems facing reporters at the time, it took me only a week to get into Iraq. We were some of the reporters who had been unable to obtain permits from the Americans. Therefore, we faced a number of difficulties. I reached Baghdad about a week and a half after the American forces arrived there. The main thing I remember from that time was the scale of the destruction in that city. The first problem I encountered after reaching Baghdad was finding a place to stay. Hotel Palestine was full of reporters. I had never seen so many reporters in one place before. So the hotel was completely filled up. Fortunately, I finally met a Portuguese reporter from another outlet and stayed with him. All the Portuguese journalists were staying in one room. There were six of us. This was where I began my work and expanded it. The first day after the invasion of Baghdad, there was nothing to be found in the market but tomatoes. The tomatoes had been imported into Baghdad by a company. There was really nothing to be found in the market but tomatoes. The Iraqis were facing an uncertain future. The American military and its allies had occupied Iraq, and their first task was to calm everyone's fears and restore order. But everything was touch and go. No one knew what the next day would bring.
E
On November 12, 2003, I went to Kuwait. My mission did not include becoming involved in clashes. I was simply supposed to report the news. At that time, Portuguese forces were deployed to Iraq as part of the UN mission. At that time, I was barred from re-entering Iraq via the Kuwait border. I didn't have a permit, so I had no option but to bide my time in Kuwait City. Finally, on November 14, 2003, I was able to re-enter Iraq when the Portuguese forces crossed the Kuwaiti border. A number of other reporters got into Iraq that same way, and once inside, we all struck out for Nasiriyah. However, an incident occurred almost immediately. A few kilometers from the border, bullets suddenly started raining down on us from all directions. And that was when I was kidnapped. At first, I thought they were trying to steal our money and equipment. They swung their car in front of us and blocked our path. Other cars in our convoy managed to get away, but we didn't dare move, because as soon as they blocked our path, they jumped out of their car and trained their rifles on us. I decided to make a break for it. It turned out being a bad move, letting loose a virtual hail of bullets they took out after us in hot pursuit. My colleague was injured in the shooting, and we had no choice but to stop the car. My colleague was screaming and lost a lot of blood. I got out of the car and held my hands up in surrender. They pulled up next to us and swarmed out of their vehicle, surrounding us. Then they forced me into their car, and that was the last I heard of my colleague who had been shot. And they kept me hostage for 36 hours. It was a short time, but for me, it seemed like 36 days. I didn't know what would happen to me. These were very difficult moments.
Situação em que houve tiros, em que a minha colega ficou atingida, a maior dificuldade foi o facto de me terem colocado.
My main problem was that desde a madrugada they kept me in the back of a car and it was stifling hot, especially during the morning hours. Those 36 hours were really hard and filled with anxiety. They kept their rifles trained on me, and at any given moment, I expected one of them to squeeze the trigger.
For instance, they couldn't speak very well too.
Acho que a situação do meu rapto foi realmente.
I think I was kidnapped because of the situation in Iraq at that time. Unfortunately, it could have happened to anybody. It was hard to know who was making the decisions behind the scenes. Was it because the regime had been toppled? Or maybe the foreign forces wanted some kind of chaos to further destabilize the country still. We'll be right back.
A minha libertação viria a acontecer, presumo que num local muito próximo.
During that 36-hour period, we were constantly on the move. But the place they let me go was close to the place where they had kidnapped me. Therefore, I don't think we had covered much distance. I think we were moving in a circle. During the time that I was kidnapped, I was taken to a home and from there to another home. Finally, at night, they let me go near the Kuwaiti border. I started looking for someone to help me. It was a dry, dusty road, and I was also terrified that whoever I flagged down would try to harm me and steal my equipment rather than help me. I finally found help from an Iraqi family living nearby. I spied the house and knocked on the door. They were all sitting together watching Arabic television. I told them I was a reporter and told them that Ali Baba had been kidnapped. At that moment, one of the members of the family recognized me from my picture he had seen in a news broadcast about a kidnapped Portuguese reporter. They warmly received me and let me use their phone. I called my family and I called my radio station in Portugal and told them that I was safe. Then the Portuguese police contacted the British police and told them where I was. After a while, the British police called me to tell me to sit tight because they were coming to get me. Although I had been kidnapped for 36 hours, I still decided to remain in Iraq for another 2 weeks to cover the news. And because of the nature of the news, all the reporters, including the Portuguese, wanted to be on the scene. Of course, the lack of security made this type of job high adventure. After my return to Portugal, I wanted to write a book about my experience. But 36 hours was not enough time to write a book about. I had already written a couple of books, and my friends were quick to remind me of it and urge me to write another, this time about my experiences in Iraq. But even they agreed that 36 hours was not enough time to write about. And then, on the other hand, there were those who wanted to know more about the incident. They wanted more details about what had happened and a description of the circumstances I had found myself in. Finally, I agreed to write a book about this incident, so I started working on the book with a Portuguese colleague, and this is the result. Always find incidents that prove fascinating to others. It doesn't matter whether something happens in the Middle East, in Africa, or in Europe. It is important for all the media outlets to have a journalist on the scene. Moreover, in the case of Iraq, the Portuguese journalists tried very hard to cultivate good relations with the foreign forces. But they never really managed to, and they were not given permits. Therefore, there was not really a strong showing among the Portuguese media. Still, the journalists did their best to cover the story, and they tried very hard to maintain an active presence.
Jornalistas
Most of the casualties among journalists in Iraq took place after the fighting. That was because as time went by, as we spent more time, they learned more and more about the warring sides. When we go somewhere to cover a conflict, we don't know from which side the bullets are coming. You have bullets flying towards you from all directions, different directions. So there's no way you can be totally safe, and you can't provide your own safety either. Journalism has changed a great deal because of technological innovations. That is one of the main differences in the way in which wars are covered today as opposed to the way they were covered in the past. After my 2-week stay, I noticed the friendship that had sprung up between the people of Nasiriya and the Portuguese military. This was something new for the people of Portugal. The Iraqis knew about Figo and Rui Costa. The Portuguese military, too, did its best to get closer to the people through their translators. What I understood was that the Iraqis were happy that the Americans had ousted Saddam Hussein, but they were far from thrilled that the foreign forces had remained in their country. A number of factions have interests in Iraq, particularly in the financial area. Iraq has dominated world headlines for the past few years, but its media attention is beginning to pall. The only time we hear about Iraq these days is if there is a major explosion, for example. Of course, this news itself can also be downplayed. Considering my own experience, I'm still interested in returning to Iraq to see what is going on. It certainly must have changed in comparison to the time I was there. This land has great riches, and there are enough different political groups, each with its own agenda, to cause the fighting to continue indefinitely. However, on the other hand, the war that was begun in 2003 and the social upheaval that has continued up to the present could come to an end in the near future. There's a microphone near me and a camera above my head. This is news which is being recorded And the camera has been here the entire time. At the moment, my work is different from what I did in the past. I not only am responsible for covering sports news, I also work as a producer, and I can produce any type of program, different programs. This is the way it is. Good evening.